Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Also, KCPP 1140 AM. I think we're broadcasting there as well, all across North Texas. Glad to have you with us. And this is our opportunity every week to come live with you after the busy weekend and kind of regroup and talk about some cool things that are happening in the Catholic world here in North Texas, both the Dallas and the Fort Worth Diocese. And boy, what a busy time it is right now. January and February are like, you know, Christmas time for retail. This is for us, this is the busiest time of the year because we got the car raffle going on. And so we're going to talk about that for a few minutes. And also, I've got a couple of tickets for the car raffle that we can give away. And then we're going to immediately switch gears and talk about Mary Immaculate Catholic School. And I have the principal here. I have the director of admissions. I have three of their student ambassadors, two eighth graders and one seventh grader. So our whole studio is just packed with awesome kids. And also their principal is Sister Mary Ann. She's a Nashville Dominican, so it's great to have her here. And also Nicole Grobe, the director of admissions. So we'll introduce you to them here in just a moment. Second half of the show is going to be the typical CPLC, Catholic Pro-Life Community segment of the Good News Show. And Frank Gonzalez is coming in, the director of communications, Susan Platt. They got a big weekend because this is the weekend of the pro-life mass and also the rally, which is going to be downtown. So they're going to have a lot of details about all of that. So with no further ado, let me just remind you that the car raffle is going on. We visited five parishes last weekend, including Mary Immaculate. We were out at Mary Immaculate Parish. Cecil and I both went out there. So thanks to Father Alphonse for allowing us to do that, and Deacon David. And I did something I've never done before. I gave a talk that was translated into French. And Mary Immaculate's unique. They have a lot of Spanish masses, and they also have a French mass every Sunday, I think 1:30 p.m., and Father Sylvester was up there translating my words into French, and it was a very unique mass as well. The choir was just amazing. And so that's one of the cool things about visiting parishes, is that you get to see how different parish life is and the different ways that, you know, every parish is a little bit different, has a little bit different of a feel to it. So, Cecil, you got to go to Mary Immaculate Saturday and also early Sunday. Anything stand out, or what was your experience?
Well, it was really fun because I think I've only done car raffle sales at Mary Immaculate once before. And I think this is the first time I got to give a talk, which was really a blessing to be able to do. That was my grandparents' parish, so it's always kind of a fond memory because I used to go with my grandparents long before I actually was Catholic to Mass at Mary Immaculate, so it's always a bit of a special memory. And I ran into some people who did know my grandparents and my family, so that was really cool. But a lot of people came over and were excited to buy tickets, and several people said, "Oh, you know, I never win anything, but I'm glad I get to support because I love what you all do." So I thought it was really great, and getting to talk with the Catholic Daughters of America, who were also speaking that weekend, we got to chat a lot. So it was a big blessing, and I enjoyed everyone that I met.
Yeah, and they also had a raffle going on for the school. I bought a ticket for $25. They're giving away either $10,000 or tuition, I guess, for a year for a student.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't really have any kids that would be eligible for Mary Immaculate, so I went for the money. So I think I'm going to win $10,000 through that raffle. And all right, so our dear friend Carla Lacroix, who is one of our super volunteers, she won the Transmitter of the Faith Award a few years ago. And every single year, she buys raffle tickets for herself, and then she also buys a couple of them, then she asks us to give them away. And she's also going to come in tomorrow, and she's going to get about 25 tickets to sell to her friends. And so I want to give away her tickets on the program today. And so if anybody is out there who is willing to take some tickets to sell to your friends, maybe 10, 15, 25, 100 tickets, we call them the Wranglers, right? Car raffle Wrangler. If you're willing to do that, I want to give you a couple of tickets to the car raffle. It's February 21st. It's a Mercedes-Benz GLB 250 in polar white. And so call up and talk to Cecil, okay? And if we don't get anybody to be a Wrangler and get tickets, then we're just going to just straight give them away, because I know Carla, that's what Carla wants to do. call up right now, talk to Cecil, and we'll give you a couple of tickets. And let us know how many you'll take to sell to your friends. The phone number is 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. And by the way, also thanks to All Saints Parish. Wow, we got sold a lot of tickets at All Saints Parish. So also Holy Cross in the Colony and also Holy Cross in Dallas. We were definitely Holy Crossing this weekend. This coming weekend, we'll be at St. Pius the 10th Parish in Dallas, St. Elizabeth in Keller, St. Mary's in Sherman, St. Michael's in McKinney, and also some small parishes in Dublin, De Leon, and Comanche cities as well. So that's what's going on, and we've got some live remotes. Real quickly, tomorrow morning we're going to be on at 9 o'clock, and we have two tickets to give away to the Catholic Charities event, and it's going to be a Beach Boys concert. Okay, so 9 o'clock tomorrow, and then I think the 1 o'clock hour on Thursday. We've got two tickets. Those are $400 each, those tickets. So that's $800 worth of tickets. I like the Beach Boys. So I don't know if I'm going to go to that event or not. That's kind of steep, but we do have a couple to give away. So thanks to Catholic Charities for that. All right. I don't know if you had any calls yet, but
not yet.
877-757-9424. 877-757-9424. This is the Good News Show. And so let's talk about this beautiful school in Farmers Branch that we were so blessed to be at the parish yesterday. As I mentioned, Mary Immaculate Catholic School, their website, mischool.org, mischool.org, as in MaryImmaculateSchool.org. They're located at 14032 Dennis Lane in Farmers Branch. And we have in studio here Sister Marianne Zuberbühler, who is a Nashville Dominican sister and also the principal of Mary Immaculate School. And we have the school's director of admissions, Nicole Grobe, and we're grateful for them. And most importantly, we have these three amazing students of theirs. Caroline Murray is an eighth grader. Julia Brandt is an eighth grader. And Colton Deininger is a seventh grader, and they're going to do most of the talking, so I'm going to get right back to you all. But let me first off introduce Sister Marianne. Thanks for being here. I guess this is the first time you've been in our new studio, right, Sister Marianne?
Yes, I've been on the show before, but not at this studio. So it's a really beautiful space and a very appropriate 910 for your radio station.
It worked out well that way.
Yes.
I was so excited. I think it was 2019, I believe, when the Nashville Dominicans arranged to be present and be very active at Mary Immaculate School. Could you tell us about the Nashville Dominicans? Because I know there's also a presence at the University of Dallas with some of your sisters. Yes. What's your charism? Tell us a little bit about you, and then also how you got involved in Mary Immaculate School.
Yes. Well, we're Dominican sisters from Nashville, Tennessee, and the sisters at the University of Dallas have been there since 2016. The University of Dallas invited us to come teach there. We have currently two sisters there. One is a professor of theology and another professor of philosophy. We also have another sister studying for her doctorate in English literature. I know there's a special title for that, but I've forgotten it. And also, but we came to Mary Immaculate School in 2019 at the invitation of Father Michael Forge, and he had asked our sisters repeatedly, I believe he had inquired about sisters for the school. And in 2019, the community was able to send two of us initially, Sister Sophia and Sister, and myself came. I came as principal. And then later, in Sister Nunziata joined us. Sister Nunziata has the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd program. Mm-hmm. And we have that program at Mary Immaculate for pre-K 4 through fifth grade. And we also are able to offer that to some preschoolers who are not enrolled at Mary Immaculate just yet, but on other days. So,
okay. And when I think of Dominicans, I think of Albert the Great and Thomas Aquinas. And so, is there, for every Dominican sister, is there an academic excellence or something? You mentioned about there's a philosophy and there's a theology. Is there always some, is academics a big part of being a Nashville Dominican?
Yes. Dominic founded the order to fight heresy or to preach against heresy. So the Order of Preachers, OP, is our initials for Dominicans. So the Order of Preachers are founded often in university cities. The community goes to places of education. And we individually, the community gives us a great gift of of fortifying us with both degrees in theology and also in education, or depending on what area we're working in. But mainly our community apostolate is that of education at all levels, from four-year-olds to 84-year-olds, if they're enrolled at the university. So.
Right, right. So you're in the right place. I mean, to be a principal of a Catholic school is exactly your charism and your mission. Okay,
it is a great gift to be, to be in a Catholic school in Dallas. It's a very great gift. The Catholic community is thriving here.
When I was there yesterday, I think it was the 10:45 Mass, and you and the other sisters were there, and as I was speaking, and I looked out and saw you and your white habits all together in a row, as just like such a beautiful presence. So thank you for your vocation, and thank you for what you're doing at Mary Immaculate School. I'm going to come back at the end. Like I said, I'm going to spend most of the time with the kids, but I do want to ask Nicole, Director of Admissions, a little bit of stats here. 474 students currently. And students are coming from 33 zip codes.
Yes.
So you're getting students from all over the place.
Pull from everywhere.
Yeah. So what is it? Give you a chance to kind of brag about the school a little bit, because if you got 33 zip codes, people are going out of their way and, you know, not going to schools closer to where they are in order to get to Mary Immaculate School. So what do they tell you? Why are people driving across town to get to your school?
Sure. I think people come to our school for many different reasons, not only our academic programs, but we're one of the few schools in the diocese that does offer Catechesis of the Good Shepherd during the school day. So we have the beautiful gift of a pastoral administrator that's on campus almost every day, I would say, kids, wouldn't you? And then we have three wonderful sisters that are teaching pre-K through eighth grade. So boys and girls alike get to see people living out vocations different than their parents, which I think is a true gift to all of them. But we pull from all these different areas because we have so much to offer.
Yeah. And I will say, just to brag on your, you know, pastor, the administrator, I think you're talking about Father Alphonse. Yes. He and I met last week and had brunch, and 90% of the conversation was about Catholic school education. He's so passionate about it. And even when he was at All Saints, he would bring ambassadors over here like this. And then when he came to Mary Immaculate, the same thing. So I know it's in his heart. It's just in his blood. He just has such a passion for quality, excellent Catholic education. So it's great that he is at the parish with this awesome school. All right, well, thanks, and I'll come back at the end, and we'll talk about the open house coming up on February 6th, and then anything else y'all want to say to brag about this awesome school. All right, let's turn our attention now to the three ambassadors. As I mentioned, Caroline Murray is an 8th grader, Julia Brandt, 8th grader, and also Colton Deininger is a 7th grader at Mary Immaculate School. mischool.org is their website, again, located in Farmers Branch. So, Julia, let me start with you, and what is an ambassador? It sounds like some official title. What does it mean to be an ambassador?
To be an ambassador means to be a student of the older grades, and it means to represent your school at events and to basically boost your school and show how your school works.
Okay, and so are they only 7th and 8th graders, or are younger students be ambassadors also?
It's just 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Okay, and what kind of things have you done as an ambassador maybe this year? Are you going into your second semester now of your last year there, right? So what do you enjoy doing with it?
Some things that I do as an ambassador is I give tours just during the school day, or I give tours during the open house. And then I go to events such as reunions, and you just represent your school there.
Oh, nice. I bet you're excited when you found out that you're going to be one. Let me bring Caroline Murray in. And in talking to Caroline, I realized that she is the daughter of some friends that I know very well, Mike and Colette Murray. And so it's so cool to have you in studio. It's cool to have all y'all, but I do have a connection to the Murray family in particular. So Caroline, how does one become an ambassador? What's the process?
To be an ambassador, you need to apply, and you have to write an essay, and then you go through an interview with a faculty member.
Okay, and why did you apply? Why were you interested in doing it?
I wanted to apply to be an ambassador because I wanted to give back to Mary Immaculate because I've been here since kindergarten, and it's such an amazing school, and I wanted to show what Mary Immaculate has to offer.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to write an essay. Is the essay any topic that you want to choose, or do you remember what you wrote about? Or yeah, so it's just something of interest to you to show that you have writing skills and creativity and that kind of thing. Okay, so you know, same question I asked Julia. What have you enjoyed most this year, your final year at Mary Immaculate, doing as an ambassador?
My favorite part of my 8th grade year as an ambassador has been open house. It's so nice to meet new families considering Mary Immaculate.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much. And let me turn attention over to Colton Deininger. And Colton, Julia said 6th, 7th, and 8th graders can be ambassadors. Do you know approximately how many there are? How many ambassadors?
There are about 45 student ambassadors at MIS.
Okay, and so same question I asked Caroline. Why did you decide to apply, and what was appealing about being an ambassador for you?
Well, like she said, giving back to MIS, but it also looks good on a high school application.
So. Yeah. Well, I asked the two young ladies about where they want to go, and I think they both would like to go to Ursuline next year. It's still kind of early, and there hasn't been any, I guess, acceptances. But have you decided where you would like to go next year?
My older brother went to Jesuit, so thinking go to Jesuit as well.
Okay, I'm actually a Jesuit grad myself. Probably a long time out before your older brother, but yeah. So I'm go back into the 1980s when I graduated from there. So what has it been like as an ambassador? You're a little younger than the young ladies here. So as a seventh grader, what kind of things do you do and what do you enjoy?
Well, I'm pretty new to ambassadors. I just applied last year, So I have only been to like one open house. It's pretty fun to spend time with families that want to go to MIS. Yeah. You can show them all the things you like.
Do you get to get out of classes?
Yes.
like today, huh? Get to do radio interviews, which is a nice thing. Well, let's talk about some of the particular things. Nicole was so good in getting me prepared for some of the things that are unique about Mary Immaculate School that we're going to talk about with the ambassadors. And one of them is the Mater Family Business Program, which is interesting because I went to high school with Carl Mater, and who I think was there. He graduated the same year as I did from Jesuit. I presume it's that family. Preparing students of all ages to be leaders in the business community and gives them life skills that can be put to use now so that they're prepared for tomorrow. Budgeting, finance, presentation skills, speaker series, where students hear from entrepreneurs about how they got where they are now. And I can tell you, I never had anything like that when I was younger. And that's a great blessing. I know, Colton, you said that you can talk about that. Are you part of the Mater program, or how are you involved in it, and how has it helped you?
Well, it's a class for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and Mr. Polito's our business teacher, so he talks about like the stock market and how you can finance and save in bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, he taught us how to make up our own kind of business.
Yeah, that's so important because it's very practical. And I think in the past, especially, that kind of thing has been left out of education because it's just so practical. I guess nobody thought about it, that how important it would be to that. Do you know what you would like to do, or that's a ways ahead, anything that you might want to study one day, or have you thought about that?
I'd like to look into engineering.
Okay. Oh, good. I know there's a lot of different kinds of engineering. So, all right. Very good. Well, that's Colton Deininger, a seventh grader at Mary Immaculate School, and the Mater Family Business Program that we're talking about. That is really unique. And I don't know if any of y'all want to talk about that. We can move on to another interesting thing that the Mary Immaculate School has is a Growing Adventures greenhouse and garden, where children from pre-K through 8th grade get their hands in the dirt and learn about God's creation and nurturing. And that's very Dominican as well. I mean, a very, very natural type of thing. And Julia, you can talk about this. Have you participated in this program?
I have not, but I know a lot about it.
Okay.
We just built a greenhouse right next to the junior high hallway, and it is a gorgeous building. It's semi-clear, but it has tons of plants inside, and I've been inside of it a few times. It smells like earth, but the plants are, you know, planty.
Yeah.
And then outside there's like vines growing, and I know they grow watermelons and other produce, I think it's really cool.
Okay.
And then in junior high, you can choose your electives, and there is an elective called horticulture for that, and a lot of my friends have been doing it. And then the younger grades, some classes, they just go out and do their homework out there.
Okay. So the greenhouse is something that anybody can be involved in, but it's more on an elective basis. It's not, yeah, so Sister Marianne wants to jump in. Yeah, Sister Marianne.
Those are great summaries. Thank you both. One thing about the greenhouse is that all the students in pre-K through 6 go weekly to the greenhouse and gardens. So they each have their own plants often, some that they plant, you know, together. We also have earthworms, all kinds of ways that we're cultivating the plants. They also, the horticulture elective has taken care of the front of the school, so they are the plants they're working on there, and the ways they're maintaining those beds really beautify the front of the entrance of the school. So it's all helpful to. We're looking toward a plant sale in May for families and interested parishioners.
Mm-hmm. I bet the kids love that. I mean, I've got an 11-year-old son, and every time he goes outside, he just wants to dig in the dirt. He wants to get his hands dirty, and it's so natural, and kids love to do that kind of thing. And to be able to incorporate that into a Catholic school education is such a cool thing.
So one student had said how she was nervous about being in horticulture. She would get her uniform dirty or shoes dirty, but then she realized how much it's a space that's anxiety reducing. So mm-hmm. We love it.
Yeah, I want to talk about virtues in practice. Now, this is something that's very Dominican, developed by the Nashville Dominicans, allowing students to learn about a saint and a virtue every single month in class and at home, encourages development of the virtues in school and in the student's family life. Within class work and family projects, the virtue this month is gratitude. So Caroline Murray is going to tell us about that. Have you enjoyed this program, or what do you want to say other than how I've already described it, Caroline?
I really like the Virtues in Practice program because we get to focus on a virtue each month instead of trying to grow in all of them at the same time. I think it's especially cool that we get gratitude after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we got so much, we should be so grateful.
Yeah, that's right. And it's also, it says you bring it home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how is that incorporated? When you get home, you're supposed to, I guess, thank your parents for the gifts, or is that something that you're required to do, or just that you're encouraged to have that same virtue at home?
Each month we have a project, so we work on the project all month, and then we write like what we thought about the project,
mm-hmm.
and then we go over it with our parents, and then we bring it back to school.
Yeah, yeah, that is so cool. Because I know a lot of times the more somebody has, the less it's more difficult it is to be, you know, grateful for it. So it's so cool that that's being incorporated into the very program. Let's talk about a couple more things, and then I'm going to round out talking to Sister Marianne and also Nicole as well. Weekly Mass, Fridays. I know this is something that Father Alphonse told me he loves. It's the highlight of his week. He gets to say Mass for the entire student body. Tell us about that. I know, I think, Colton, you mentioned you like the homilies. Well, what is it about the Friday Mass that you enjoy?
Father Alphonse makes it a very, he incorporates students into his homilies with demonstrations and asks questions. And he tells funny stories from his life or like parables almost.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of funny sound effects and jokes in there too.
Yeah, so he brings it to the level of the students. Is there anything else, Caroline or Julia, that you want to mention about the Friday Mass that you enjoy?
About Father Alphonse too, it's fun in the hallways how he just remembers your name. And so you'll ask him, can we be in the homily? And then he'll say yes. And then he'll say, okay, Julia, where are you? Come up here and I'll do a demonstration with you.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. And Caroline, did you want to add anything about the Mass?
I think it's really fun that Father Alphonse does the homilies because sometimes as a kid, it can be hard to sit through a homily, but Father Alphonse makes it really fun and interactive.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Very good. The Nashville Dominicans having, you know, back, you know, when I was in grade school, to have a habited sister or nun on campus was not, it was pretty commonplace, but it's become less common. And what a blessing it is to have the Dominican sisters there. So do y'all want to talk about that? Or you can brag about your principal here while she's here, the others as well. What is it like to have the Dominican sisters there on campus with you? Anything come to mind? Colton, Julia, Caroline?
One thing that comes to mind, as Mrs. Grove said earlier, it gives students like a different perspective of a vocation other than a married life, but it gives them a perspective on how a religious life can work. And they teach us on different ways how to pray. Like my current teacher, Sister Margaret Mary, she's taught us like three ways on how to thank the Lord in things that he's given you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thank you so much. I want to just open it up to any of you right now, because I like to say that I don't want you getting in the car and driving home and saying, gosh, I wish I'd had a chance to say this. Is there anything else? You don't have to, but is there anything else about the school, extracurriculars, you know, the faith formation, anything else that you want to highlight that makes this school unique? Any one of you? Caroline.
I think Mary Immaculate is really cool because it's really inclusive of everyone, and they offer so many different extracurricular activities, including over like 15 different types of sports and the drama club and art club, and there's just a lot to do.
Do any of y'all do sports? Yeah, what do you do, Colton?
I play basketball and baseball.
Okay, and Julia, any extracurriculars? What do?
I do drama, basketball, volleyball, and track.
Yeah. And Caroline, what about you?
I do drama, volleyball, basketball, track, and soccer.
Okay. Y'all spend a lot of time together, don't you?
Yeah.
Y'all are buds. All right. Well, thank you. Did you have something else, Julia? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I kind of want to brag on the junior high real quick for 7th and 8th grade. In the younger grades, you have a lot more boundaries. But in 7th and 8th grade, you are more mature, and so you get less restrictions. So we have like dances, and in 8th grade we have group dynamics, and then our field trips are to like way different cities. And 7th and 8th grade is just a really fun period before you leave that you just get to experience a lot of fun with your classmates.
Yeah. Are y'all going to be sad to leave? Well, you go on to the next adventure of your life, right? It's an exciting time. I mean, being 8th grader, of course, Colton's got a little bit longer before he graduates. But, well, thanks so much. You all have been great spokespeople for the school, and God bless you and your future. And thanks for, leaving class. I know that's a sacrifice to have to leave class to do a radio interview, right? Caroline Murray and Julia Brandt are 8th graders, and Colton Deininger is a 7th grader, Mary Immaculate School student ambassadors, website mischool.org, and great school in the Diocese of Dallas. So, Sister Mariana, now that you've heard your students to brag about the school, I want to give you the second to last word, and then I want to talk to Nicole about this open house coming up on February 6th. So, in light of everything that they've said, what would you like to add?
Well, I think certainly many, many wonderful things about Mary Immaculate, but the life comes from the students. So when we have just recently 2 days off of school, which came quickly after a long Christmas break,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not long enough, but always long enough.
Yeah.
I'm always grateful to get back to school, to see the students, to talk with them, to know what's going on with them, to share with them. So at Mary Immaculate, we are interested in developing students to their fullest potential, to giving them greatest opportunity to learn. And we want to do that in an engaging way. So we want them to be lifelong learners. So we want them to enjoy learning. Okay, we create wonder and excitement to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So things like the greenhouse, things like the business program, really round out the education and really working toward the whole person, and so that they can reach their potential and thrive. So really, this is what we're about at Mary Immaculate. We want students to love the moment. And then just as you asked the students, are they going to miss Mary Immaculate? We want them to be ready to go when it's mm-hmm. time, and to make their place in the world, and to be well-equipped to do that. So it's intentional, and it's meaningful, and it's loads of fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Well great. Well, thank you, Sister Marianne, principal of Mary Immaculate School. And I'm going to close out with Nicole Grobe. She is director of admissions for Mary Immaculate School. Again, the website, mischool.org, mischool.org. And there is an open house Thursday, February 6th, 9:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., pretty much the whole day. If you're interested in learning more about Catholic education at Mary Immaculate, you can register online at mischool.org. So can you tell us about that, Nicole?
Sure. So we're actually hosting two different open houses that day. So there's one at 9 a.m. and one at 6:30 p.m. So
you can come. It's not the whole day.
No, although we would host you at any time that you come to visit.
Yeah.
We want you to come in and see classes in action if you have that availability during the day, because it's such a neat experience to walk through the halls and feel the Holy Spirit moving every single day. And at 6:30, if you can't make it during the day, we want you to come in the evening and bring your kids if possible so that they can see a potential placement for school. And it's just a great opportunity to see all of our programs, interact with these wonderful students and the others that are student ambassadors, and see everything that we have to offer.
All right. So that's Thursday, February 6th. You said 9 a.m. and then 6:30 p.m. And if somebody is not able to make that day, they can just contact you anyways and say, hey, I can't make that one, but I'd still like to see the school.
Absolutely. I give private tours all the time. I gave one this morning. So anytime that you're available, I would love to show people around.
And this is the time to be seriously thinking about the fall semester, right?
Very much so. The admissions season is in full swing, and decisions for acceptance will go out on March 7th. So it's right around the corner.
All right. Well, thank you very much for organizing this. Sister Mary Ann, thank you for being here as well. And Father Alphonse, probably listening, I'm guessing. If not listening live, he's going to listen to the recording. So thank you, Father. And also want to give a very sincere thanks to these wonderful student ambassadors who came out here today. Caroline Murray and Julia Brandt, eighth graders, and also Colton Dininger, who is a seventh grader, and a couple of the moms are here as well. Proud moms are with us as well. So the website again, mischool.org, mischool.org. Mary Immaculate School, located at 14032 Dennis Lane in Farmers Branch. And please, if you're interested in school for a pre-K through eighth grader, this would be a great option and a good thing to think about. So thanks to you all very much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, we're going to take a break now. I'm going to take a couple of pictures of them, and then we'll put it up on our Facebook page later today. But Frank Gonzalez and Susan Platt and also Terry Shaw from the Fort Worth Diocese are going to be on next talking about the very big weekend that's coming up with Pro-Life, because this is the weekend of the bilingual Pro-Life Mass and also the rally downtown as well. So lots to talk about with the CPLC folks and also Terry from the Fort Worth Diocese right after this as the Good News Show continues.
Join Claritas Men's Fellowship on Thursday, January 16th for whiskey tasting, cured meats, and cigars as guest speaker and oblate of St. Benedict, Chad Simpson, shares the untold story of St. Benedict, a beacon in the Dark Ages, whose life shaped modern Western culture and Catholic spirituality. This event is open to Catholic men 18 and older, but space is limited. Register now at claritasmen.com. That's claritasmen.com.
The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Little Elm Eye Care for their support of local Catholic radio. Little Elm Eye Care is owned by Drs. Bert and Leslie Bubella, parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. They specialize in family vision care, comprehensive eye exams, contact lenses, and the treatment of eye diseases and injuries. Little Elm Eye Care is located at 1200 East El Dorado Parkway, Suite 100, across from the Little Elm Athletic Complex. They can be reached by calling 972-292-0900 or on the web at littleelmeyecare.com.
The St. Jude Career Alliance will introduce a new career development curriculum at its quarterly comprehensive faith-based job search workshop on Saturday, January 25th from 8:45 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the campus of St. Jude Catholic Church in Allen. Titled Empowering Your Career Journey One Step at a Time, a set fee of $25 will cover the cost of a full-color spiral-bound copy of the presentation, as well as lunch, drinks, and snacks. Online registration is required through the website www.stjudecareeralliance.com.
Project Joseph, can I help you?
I lost my child to an abortion 20 years ago. Can you help me, or is it too late?
It's never too late to start healing. Let's see if Project Joseph is a good fit for you.
Even if it's been years, Project Joseph, a confidential men-only weekend healing retreat, can help you find peace. The next retreat is February 22nd and 23rd. Call 469-720-2273 or email healing@projectjosephdallas.org. Project Joseph. It works.
St. John the Apostle Catholic Church in North Richland Hills will host a screening of a new pro-life movie called Misled on Saturday evening, January 18th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. in the North-South Room. The screening is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus from St. John the Apostle Parish. Misled is a pro-life documentary film that has been described as sensitive, heartfelt, and impactful. After the movie, there will be a Q&A session with the movie's director, Trish Short.
I was in college when I found out I was pregnant, and all I could see were my dreams and plans vanishing. So I had the abortion. Now it seems my dreams and plans have been filled with loss and regret.
Whether you thought it was your only option or felt pressured to make the decision, find healing on a Rachel's Vineyard retreat on February 7th through 9. Call us confidentially at 214-544-CARE or visit us at racheldallas.org.
All right, we're back. This is the Good News Show, and we do this every Monday during the noon hour where we let you know cool things that are going on. It was great to have the Mary Immaculate principal and admissions director and the ambassadors in there a moment ago. And we now are going to talk about a annual and a amazing series of events that are going to be happening this weekend, which marks the Roe v. Wade decision. Of course, thanks be to God, a few years ago that was overturned, but we continue to celebrate and mark it and fight for life. And that is the bilingual pro-life mass and the North Texas Rally for Life, which is this Saturday, January 18th, downtown Dallas at the Cathedral, and also the rally. To talk about all this is Frank Gonzalez, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Catholic Pro-Life Community. And before I throw it over to Frank, because he's going to introduce Susan and also Terry and talk about all this stuff, I want to just say that we have those two tickets for our car raffle. And, you know, if you would like two tickets to our car raffle for the Mercedes-Benz on February 21st, the drawing is going to be, Carla LaCroix gave two tickets away. All you got to do is call Cecil right now and say, I want those two tickets. And we will give them to you, and you'll have two chances to win a Mercedes-Benz on February 21st, 877-757-9424. 877-757-9424. That says a special thank you for listening to the Good News Show. And so talk to Cecil, and you don't even have to give her credit card information, just your email and your address, and we'll mail you those tickets. All right. 877-757-9424. Frank Gonzalez, welcome. How are you? Busy week for you, huh?
Yes. Happy New Year, Dave.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're excited because Saturday is a huge event for us. The pro-life mass, of course, starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then immediately following that, just around the backside of the National Shrine Cathedral downtown, will be the North Texas Rally for Life. So we're very excited about that. We have a lot to talk about today about that event. But I want to bring on first Susan Platt, who is our Director of Community Outreach. She'll lead us in a prayer to kind of start the segment, and then we'll just jump right into a few things about what's going on in Austin and maybe the U.S. government, and then we'll go and talk a lot about the mass and the rally. So, Susan, take it away.
Okay. Well, I am tempted to just ask you to put me on hold while I talk to Cecil about those two free tickets for the drawing. But instead, we'll talk about the Jubilee year with the theme of Pilgrims of Hope. This began on Christmas Eve. This past year, Pope Francis opened the Holy Year by opening the special door of the Basilica of St. Peter in Vatican City. And it's known as a Holy Year since it's a time in which God's holiness transforms us, offering the Catholic faithful a chance for spiritual renewal, highlighting forgiveness, reconciliation, and a widespread call to holiness. And by participating in the Holy Year, we can be granted a plenary indulgence. One way we can join together is to pray the Jubilee Prayer, and I have that for us today, so let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth. When with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us, pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
Amen.
It's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? It's a great way to start, and to start with being pilgrims of hope. And we have a court case that we are hopeful about. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear South Carolina's case on directing Medicaid funds away from Planned Parenthood. In 1965, Congress created Medicaid to help low-income families pay for medical expenses. And this is a joint program between the federal government, which provides some of the funding, and the states, which are responsible for providing the rest and administering the program. But in July 2018, in accordance with a state law prohibiting the use of taxpayer funds to pay for abortions, South Carolina's governor issued an executive order labeling abortion facilities unqualified to provide family planning services through Medicaid. This order made abortion providers like Planned Parenthood unable to receive Medicaid funding in South Carolina. In response, Planned Parenthood, of course, and one of its clients sued in federal court. And the case made its way through several courts with an appeal to the Supreme Court. And the question is whether states should be able to use taxpayer dollars in accordance with their own laws. The pro-life side is arguing that no citizen should have to fund facilities that perform life-ending procedures like abortion. And this past December, the Supreme Court announced that they would hear this case. So please join in prayer that South Carolina's law will be upheld and those taxpayers don't have to have their money go to the horrible killing of children. So that's my update for this segment. We've got so much going on now with the Rally for Life and the bilingual pro-life mass.
So I think the timing is perfect to have this.
I don't know where to start.
This is like that particular court case is just a good springboard to talk about this Saturday's events and why it's so important that not just Catholics attend the pro-life mass and the rally, but also everyone should be at least in prayer for this event to that it becomes successful and that people respond to it in the right way. So, Susan, let's talk first about the pro-life mass, because there's one cool thing about this mass other than just it being what it is. It's probably one of our last opportunities as a diocese to say thank you to Bishop Kelly, because he will be celebrating at the Mass, won't he? Mm.
Yes, and he's so wonderful, and he's such a beautiful advocate for life, as is Bishop Burns, and to have both of them celebrating this Mass is tremendous, and to be there with Bishop Kelly to come to Mass and show him how much we love him and how much we're going to miss him. He'll be installed in February as the bishop of the Diocese of Tyler. So he's not moving too far, but he'll still be out of town. So we will miss him, and we want to show him how much we care for him and all that he has done for the Diocese of Dallas. He's just been a tremendous servant for many years. And I think it's 17 years that he's been serving the Diocese of Dallas. And we have been so blessed to have him.
And as part of that, Susan, his legacy here in Dallas is so uniquely tied in with the Catholic pro-life community, our Healing After Abortion ministry. You know, we owe such a debt to Bishop Kelly for his leadership in really getting that that ministry as part of the Catholic pro-life community, the things that they do and how it's expanded and his own personal involvement in that ministry over the last 17 years.
Yes, and there's so many events that we do that we need to have a priest to celebrate Mass or to hear confessions. And Bishop Kelly moves heaven and earth to say yes to us, to help especially the people that have been wounded by abortion. And he has such a heart for them and loves them and shows them Christ's mercy. I mean, you can just see it in his eyes when he comes to these events. And it's just, it's wonderful to have him there. And he is such a servant of God. We will miss him terribly.
So again, it's our one of our last opportunities or getting close to the end to say goodbye to Bishop Kelly. So quickly, let's get a quick rundown on the events that will be happening on Saturday. And as we get to the rally, we'll also bring on Terry Schaff from the Diocese of Fort Worth, and she can talk a little bit more about the North Texas Rally for Life. So give us a kind of a rundown of everything that's going on Saturday, Susan.
Well, we've got the youth rally event from 8:30 to 9:30. And you can, there's no charge, but you can sign up for the event so that we have a head count. Do that at our website at prolifedallas.org. And Frank knows the rest of the extension on that. Father Mark Garrett, who is the chaplain at Bishop Lynch and is also the vocations director for the diocese, is going to be speaking. And he is a wonderful young priest. He's been the vocations director, I believe, for about 18 months. So he's going to be there, and they've got all kinds of activities planned. It's going to be wonderful. Then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have the Mass itself. And did you want to add, Frank?
The only thing I wanted to add about the Youth for Life rally is that it's going to be in the Grand Salon there at the National Shrine Cathedral. Years past, it's been over at St. Jude's downtown. It's not going to be there. It's going to be in the Grand Salon at the National Shrine Cathedral. Okay.
Yeah. So, and you can go to St. Jude's, but you won't have a youth rally there. And then as soon as they're done at 9:30, then we will have the Mass at 10 o'clock. We have our wonderful Knights of Columbus serving as, there's an honor guard that processes in with the priest. And we'll also have our Knights of Columbus are there as ushers for the event. We could not do it without them. They are such tremendous volunteers and come in service to whatever the Lord needs of them. So we'll have that. We'll have, of course, Bishop Burns is celebrating Mass, concelebrating with Bishop Kelly, and he will be giving his homily. He does an incredible homily and fired up everybody last year. I don't know if y'all remember, but last year it was about 33 degrees and we marched, and it was a little chilly, but Bishop Burns fired us up. And you know, he spent several years in Alaska, as the bishop in that diocese. So he's like, you know, if I can do it, it's less than a task to him, since he's got that blood thinning from being in Alaska for so long.
If I remember right, Susan, I think he used the word balmy in his last year as far as describing the weather.
I think you're right. But it's not supposed to be that cool, so we should be in good shape. But it will be usually, you know, come early, pray often, because usually the Mass and we have the overflow into the Grand Salon, those will be full. So come and it is a bilingual Mass. So please plan on doing that first. We pray and then we witness, and then we go to the rally site and hear tremendous speakers and beautiful music and fettuccines.
Let's bring on Terry Schaff then from the Diocese of Fort Worth. She's the pro-life coordinator for the diocese. Terry, thanks for taking a few minutes to be with us and tell us a little bit more about the North Texas Rally for Light. Terry, we got you.
We're looking forward. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, but now we got you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Frank and Susan. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Hi, Terry. Hey. Great to hear from you. Great to be on today. We're really excited about Saturday. We've got great speakers lined up, including Bishop Burns, Teresa Sadler, who is the director of a pregnancy center called Rafa Family Center, Patricia and Sandoval from EWTN, our own Aurora Quinajero, who we all know and love, Megan Ruse from the Students for Life of America, and Bruce Edwards, the pastor of Gateway Baptist Church in Mansfield, will be closing out the rally with a benediction prayer for us. We're really excited.
So how long have you been involved in planning this event? I mean, obviously, did it start the day after last year's rally or from 2024?
It usually starts when we come to like plan the next one. It's usually in the summer before. So we do take a few months off, but then the planning has to get started pretty quickly. We can't plan it like right before. So we have to have months in advance to kind of get ready, to think of a theme, to think of other speakers that we might want to ask, and to be in touch also with with the city of Dallas in order to make sure all of those things are lined up and in place before the event takes place.
So, Jay, you've been a part of this event since I started in 2013. So how long have you been involved in pro-life work and in doing the march and rally?
Well, I started with Texans for Life and the CPLC back in July of 2001. And I don't remember what year it was, if it was 2002, January, or the following, when we were doing the rallies and the marches in downtown, but it was sometime then. So I've been involved in planning it on some level for a really long time. And so, yeah, I can't believe how much time has passed. Since my coming on to the Diocese of Fort Worth in this role in 2017, I've been helping to plan it as well on a different level.
And the event itself, the rally or when it was a march or whatever, it's very personal for you, isn't it, in terms of your own personal life and the value of the march in terms of you building a family, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's one of my little favorite fun facts about it is that my husband and I met at the rally in January of 2006, and we were introduced by mutual friends, and then we were married in December of 2006, so before the year even ended. And now we have two kids. William just recently turned 17, and Natalie turned 16 last week.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, my God. I can't believe your kids are that old.
I can't do them. It's crazy.
Hey, this is maybe a question.
I remember them
running
around the office with little biddies.
Oh, wow. I know.
This is a question I want to ask you, Terry, but Susan, feel free to chime in as well. People say, well, the Dobbs decision a couple of years ago changed everything in the state of Texas. And so why is a rally or a march or a pro-life mass, why are these events still important in the state of Texas? Because they're even going to have they're still continuing the state march the following weekend. But why in Texas are these events still so important?
It's a great question, Frank. Really important because since the Dobbs case and since the trigger ban went into effect in Texas, thankfully abortion is illegal in our state, and which is a great, great blessing. However, there are still abortions taking place, and a lot of people probably aren't aware of that, but it's through illegal abortion pills that are coming over the state lines through the mail, and a lot of women are getting those in different ways through the mail. So abortions are still taking place, and that's one huge factor. So even though it's illegal in our state, there are still abortions taking place, which is a sad fact, but it is a reality that we have to face. And then in addition to that, one way that we as Catholics and Christians and people of any faith really can get involved is to know that this is when we as a church have to step up, perhaps even in a different way. We have to now be available to the women who aren't aware maybe that abortion is illegal in the state, and then therefore they're choosing life for their baby, and they may need help, whether it's materially or spiritually, whatever way it might be. It's our turn now as the church to step up in a new way, to show them that we are there, not just to say that, you know, you need to give choose life for your baby, but also that we'll be there to walk with you as a church in this journey.
Susan, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that's beautiful, Terry. You're absolutely right. I think one of the things that's so important about this event is that we will have speakers there talking about their personal witness. More than one of them has had an abortion, and it's what it has done to them. People don't understand a lot of times what abortion does to the woman, the devastating effect it has on her, and that's part of what we have to do now is to help educate people about the importance of life and what devastation it can wreak on you if you do decide against the life of your child. So I think that's one of the things that we want to continue to let people know the truth, because they've been lied to all these years by Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers about what abortion is and what it does to the family, and not just the baby.
So we want to encourage everyone out there who's listening to, again, please come out and support the Bilingual Pro-Life Mass and the North Texas Rally for Life this Saturday, January the 18th. 10 o'clock is the Mass at the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 2215 Ross Avenue in downtown Dallas. Bishop Edward Burns is the primary celebrant, and concelebrant is going to be Bishop Kelly. So we want everybody to please come and join us for that. Preceding the Mass at 8:30 is our Youth for Life rally in the Grand Salon there at the National Shrine. And then immediately following the Mass will be the North Texas Rally for Life. That will feature, among others, Patricia Sandoval from EWTN, of course, Bishop Burns and Terry Schaff that we've been listening to, Aurora Tina Harrow, Megan Roos from the Students for Life of America, Teresa Sadler from the Rafa Clinic, as Terry mentioned earlier, and also Pastor Bruce Edwards from the Gateway Baptist Church in Mansfield. It's an ecumenical event, the North Texas Rally for Life. We encourage you to tell not only your family and friends from your church about it, but tell your family and friends from other churches to please come and join us. Also, one last plea for volunteers for the event. You can go to our website, prolifedallas.org, click on the link for the Pro-Life Mass, and you'll see a volunteer page. And that's where you can sign up to help be a volunteer for the Mass. Or if you're a Knights of Columbus, there's a link there that you can help be a supporter for either the Mass or for the rally afterwards. We definitely need a lot of Knights to come forward and be volunteers and help out for the rally immediately following the Mass. So again, Saturday, beginning at 8:30 with the youth and at 10 o'clock for the Mass, we encourage everybody to please join the Catholic Pro-Life community, as well as the Diocese of Fort Worth and Texans for Life Coalition, the sponsors of the North Texas Rally for Life.
All right. Thanks to all of you. Thank you, Frank. And thank you, Terry and Susan. We want to give you those two tickets to the car raffle, okay?
Really?
One condition. You got to give one of them to Reg. All right.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
All right. So thanks so much. Also, I looked at the forecast. 53 for the high on Saturday. So it's going to be about 20 degrees warmer than last year. Okay. Thanks so much to all of you. ProLifeDallas.org is the website for more information. It's this Saturday. I'm going to be there. I'm bringing two of my kids, and we're going to be there. My wife is going to be working that day. And thanks also to all the awesome folks from Mary Immaculate School that joined us in the first half of the show. If you're interested to Mary Immaculate School, just go to mischool.org, mischool.org, and prolifedallas.org for all the information about what's going on this Saturday with the bilingual mass, the youth rally at 8:30, and then, of course, the big rally at noon, downtown Dallas. Thanks, Sissel. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next Monday, God willing, for the next Good News Show. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.